You are listening to a free podcast of The Majority Report with Sam Cedar. To support the show and receive nearly an hour extra material daily, become a member today at majority.fm. Resistance is futile.
The Majority Report with Sam Cedar, where every day's casual Friday. That means Monday is casual Monday. Tuesday, casual Tuesday. Wednesday, casual hump day. Thursday, casual Thurs. That's what we call it. And Friday, casual Shabbat. The Majority Report with Sam Cedar.
It is Friday, November 4th, 2011. My name is Sam Cedar. This is the Majority Report. We are broadcasting live in the literal, though not metaphorical, shadow of the New York Times building in the fashionable Dollar Lunch District of New York City. It's casual Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, yes, indeed. You know what that means? Cliff Schechter. Maybe Chris Rosen. I don't know. He seems to be a little bit miffed with me today. Also, of course, our songs from the Screaming Majority and Jimmy Reefer Cake, your phone calls, updates on the elections happening next week, a couple important referendum by, the latest on Herman Cain's great adventure. Unemployment numbers came out today. The latest round of flotilla heading to Gaza, boarded by all accounts just moments ago by the so-called Israeli Defense Forces. Elizabeth Warren yelled at by a Tea Partier who had some difficulty exiting the situation. We will talk about it. Michigan, the right-wingers in Michigan managed to make an anti-bullying statute that promotes bullying of gay kids. All that and more. But, ladies and gentlemen, as is the tradition on Friday, Cliff Schechter, but first, Cliff Schechter's famous theme song.
Cliff Schechter, Libertas LLC, New Media, Public Relations, and Strategy. You want any of these services, you know who you gotta see. Cliff Schechter, LibertasLLC.com.
Cliff Schechter, ladies and gentlemen, making his way down from the rotunda into his vaulted position as the longest running regular guest, the only real regular guest. I mean, yes, I guess Chris Rosen, but that's really more performance art. Cliff, welcome.
Far more talented. Come on, you got to put it where it is.
I'm sorry, say that again. I just had to bring up your volume.
Rosen is far more talented. You know that.
Well, yes, as a performance artist, I guess there is. People aren't even sure if it's really Chris Rosen anymore. That segment has moved beyond satire and parody into something so meta that if you spend too long thinking about it, your head explodes. Cliff, so because I know we got to talk about Herman Cain. You know, I don't talk about the campaign stuff too often during the course of the week at this point because we're so far out and the Republican Party is so ridiculous. But before we get there, I want to play for you such a wonderful ad that is running in your home state of Ohio in support of SB5, which is The former investment banker, Fox News host John Kasich, his plan to destroy unions and
the firefighters and cops bill?
Of course, yes. Why wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you? And we could live in a libertarian.
Because they're government workers, and you, as you know, public sector jobs aren't actually real jobs.
They're not real jobs, and you know, if your house burns down, according to libertarian philosophy, you've learned your lesson, and next time you buy a different type of house,
or a different set of matches, maybe not quite as flammable.
Right. All right. Well, let's play this clip. This is ad is actually brought to you by the fine people from Citizens United, who are the ones who were the plaintiffs, I guess, or were they the defendants in the
Just go with the assholes.
Oh, the a-holes in that case that brought you the influx of corporate money into, I should say, the unbridled influence of corporate money into our politics. Here's that ad. It's really sweet.
The Cincinnati Inquirer says, vote yes on issue 2. It will permit us to pay teachers based on merit, not just seniority. Reward the best teachers for a job well done. Reform tenure so we can replace the others. Unions need the right to bargain for wages, but we parents and educators deserve the right to run our own schools. Common sense reforms to help our children and grandchildren. Vote yes on issue 2.
Oh, that's just lovely. That's so what a lovely ad. And for those of you who can't see the visuals, that swooshing noise you hear is actually one of those Siths that is actually just slicing through human beings. You need to see the visual really to understand. It's like a one of those sort of things they use to harvest wheat, and it's just slicing through public workers. I jest, of course. So tell me, what's the latest there, Cliff?
Well, I would say, first of all, I find it perversely poetic that it's Citizens United themselves that come in with the undisclosed funds at the last second and dump $100,000 into TV ads, which I think are largely in the Cincinnati market, but I think, from what I read, are statewide. You do have to enjoy that there's just something so perfect about it, that it's the jack-offs that actually screwed our election system to the point now where the Koch brothers and others of their ilk can dump God knows what kind of sums of money into elections, statewide, even local. So there's that. But the interesting thing is here that I can tell you, and maybe there's a good reason for this, and I don't ever judge an election overall and say, oh, my God, look, who has more yard signs? I've never, though, seen an election of this importance, and it is being reported very seriously here. I know it's got some national attention, but it's everywhere here for an off-year election, getting a ton of press. I've never seen an election before where one side literally did not have one yard sign, because in the end, who, no matter how rich you are, who wants to put a yard sign in their yard that says firing firefighters and police are good?
Right.
It's a good thing, right? I mean, probably not good to get on the bad side of those guys.
Right. In the event that you have a fire or some form of dispute at your home, you don't want one of these guys about to lose their job showing up and going like,
right, exactly. So good to see that they all have the courage of their convictions, you know. But look, recent polling shows it down by 20 points. I would just say to people they shouldn't get every indicator I've seen from the huge 1.3 million that signed the petition to get this on the ballot when only like 175,000 or so were needed. What went on in Wisconsin with the two guys being recalled and almost a third in pretty blood red districts, from my understanding. Kasich's approval rating, which is in the 30s, and I think makes him either the most unpopular governor in the country or second only to Rick Scott. I think all of that, when you put that together, anecdotally, this thing should go down. The fact that the polls show that by 20 points, 56 to 36, I think it was supposed to go down. But I would always remind people the Republicans are very, very crafty. And really, you could call it their raison d'etre is to stop people from voting. So, you know, remember that there will be votes, you know, caged, crushed, destroyed, people, you know, people given wrong directions and wrong dates for voting. So no one should get complacent. Everybody needs to go out. Everybody needs to knock on doors. Everybody needs to call their family and friends and do everything that you need to do in an off-year election, because even though it's gotten more press, you know, it still is an off-year election. And I'd also add that, it's hard to sort of for pollsters to model for an election like this. So I think that the numbers say we're good. I think the anecdotal evidence says we're good, but no one should get complacent at all.
And I would add, too, that more so than probably any election I can imagine, the size of victory is going to be really important in terms of the national narrative, right? I mean, this thing gets completely hammered, 2 or 3, 4 points, the more this is a pile on against Kasich, the more message it sends to other governors in other states and, frankly, on a national level, right?
Oh, that's definitely true. I mean, people need to think, you need to think of history, as a narrative and political history. You know, it started with what went on in Tahrir Square and in other parts, everywhere, literally from Arab countries to even Israel and London and places like that, where people just stood up and said enough. And then in Wisconsin, where literally they almost lost control of the state senate in some pretty conservative districts over their behavior. And then in the Occupy Wall Street movement that's now spread nationally and internationally in amazing fashion, and showing where people stand, 99% of them anyhow. And this is just a continuation of that narrative. And so you could not be more right. It is so important. The stakes are made just plainly obvious. I mean, you could not have, to me, again, something more perfect than Citizens United itself coming in the last second and dumping $100,000 into ads with undisclosed corporate money, and the head of that effort, professional asshole David Bossy, who some people may remember from the Clinton years, was one of the guys who spent his time spreading around the conspiracies about Clinton murdering people and running drugs, to Nicaragua and the whole rest of it. I mean, this guy essentially has been a boil on the anus of humanity going on a good 15 years now. So, to defeat them, to defeat Kasich, and as you said, the Fox News, Lehman Brothers, Kasich, and the rest, I think that just sends, in Ohio, too, in a swing state in the Midwest, I think that sends as clear a message as we can do it, to defeat it and defeat it big.
Yeah, I mean, I think I really don't think that we can overstate the implications of this if this is a full out slaughter in terms of the referendum. And if this thing is really hammered hard, it certainly has the ability to change the dynamic. I mean, I think the worm is turned nationally a little bit, but we all saw what happened with Scott Brown winning in Massachusetts. And frankly, we saw what happened with the loss of Wiener's seat in New York. That was when essentially President Obama backed off things like Social Security and Medicare. And when Kathy Hochul up in New York's 29, that's when Medicare came into play. These types of elections that are sort of localized in some respect, but have national implications, they have a... almost like an unnatural force on the national narrative.
It's like a multiplier effect. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everything just builds on. I mean, this thing needs to get beaten down. It needs to be like one of the neurons in Rick Perry's brain when he was in New Hampshire.
Yes, in fact, I know for a fact our song of the week, actually, from the Screaming Majority deals with Rick Perry. I didn't play any of the audio from that because it's almost like you need the entirety, but it's a good pivot point. He acted very strange at this New Hampshire speech.
He was, I would call it awesome. I think I said in my most recent column this week, seems to me the only stimulant that the Republican Party is actually in favor of would not be an economic one, but whatever Rick Perry was mainlining at his speech in New Hampshire.
Yeah, and the excitement he showed over syrup was stunning, because I didn't think after my daughter, seeing my daughter react to syrup, that I could see anything
More gleeful reactor.
About syrup. My daughter's 6 years old and wants syrup on everything, of course,
because
it's liquid sugar. But Rick Perry looked at this stuff like it was like melt, like it was. He looked at this bottle like it was like a, like he was on angel dust looking at a lava lamp in like 1973 or something.
Oh my God! I know, he looked at it like it was like some form of like oil, of big oil-based lubricant he could use. You know what I mean?
Speaking of oil-based lubricant, let's talk about Herman Cain for a moment. This has been so just. I mean, just a wonderful. Here's a guy who I think never thought that he would. You know. There are people who run in the Democratic presidential primaries in the past who run, who know they have no chance of winning, but they run because they're carrying a message. Mike Gravel, for one,
yep.
You know, I mean,
or they want a TV show or a higher speaking fees or whatever, you know.
I don't even know in the Democratic campaign. I can't think. It's hard for me to point to one of those people in the Democratic primaries.
Well, one of them might have a show on MSNBC now, but
who's that?
I'm not talking.
Oh,
I was thinking Jenny Sharpton.
Oh, Sharpton. Did he run? Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Fair enough.
I could be wrong.
I think that's legitimate. Although I think Sharpton, yes, I think he was raising his profile, but it was very much issue oriented. I think that's fair. But in the Republican primary. It seems to be literally like there's a business plan. You got Gingrich, you got Cain.
Yeah, if you think about it from a PR angle, it's become basically a free PR campaign. I mean, what's better if you think about it? I mean, you're somebody who's, you know, stuck, you know, with the bottom 99% making only 5,000 per speech, and you want to get yourself up to 50,000,
right?
You know, per speech, and you're stuck there. Getting only maybe a high five-figure, low six-figure advance on your book, you want that seven-figure advance, so then you can send your profits off to the Cayman Islands to not be taxed. And this is what you wish, you know. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, I've been saying that for a while, and this doesn't make me a genius. I think it just makes me have at least some common sense somewhere. You know, I said from the beginning, I had absolutely no doubt in my mind Palin was not going to run this time.
Right.
Because that's all it ever seemed to me. If you kind of knew her and knew her past, they like a quote from her 10 years earlier, you know, like, you know, before anybody knew who she was, saying how she wanted to be famous and how, you know, and how she loved glamour and stuff when she was a sports reporter. I mean, this is what, you know, this was the way to get there for her. There was no other way to get there because she wasn't going to get there through her brains or, you know, or anything creative she did. So, you know, take up the market for a bunch of fat, middle-aged white guys fantasizing.
The primary piece of evidence when it came to Sarah Palin was she quit her governor's job. I mean,
right.
She quit her job halfway through the year, you know, her term, to get money. I mean, the idea that now maybe she could have run because she thought it was going to she would raise more money, but she was her whole appeal was banked on the idea was based on the idea that she could be president, but she was above it. And so if she was to lose, drop like a stone, like Pawlenty or Bachman has, or any of them, frankly, it would have actually hurt her bottom line. So Herman Cain gets into this election because he wants to sell books. He wants to revive his career as a talker, whatever it is. And then he finds himself out in the lead. He's completely unprepared. He never thought that this stuff about him being a sexual harasser would be an issue. But this is just it's been stunning to watch how unprepared he was for this.
Yeah, I think the big difference is there are Democrats who run to raise their profile or run to get certain issues to be talked about. But the difference is there are always people, at least looking back, for the most part, there are people that are prepared to be president, right? I mean, I think of Howard Dean running in 2004, and my guess is that he didn't think he was going to ever be leading the pack like he ended up. You know, and I think even a few interviews with him said that. He was running because, you know, the Iraq war issue was important, and I think he was thinking of future presidential runs. And he was raising, you know, but he was a guy that obviously, you know, multi-term governor, had been very successful, you know, was a smart guy, well-versed in the issues, and was very prepared to be president. I would say the same thing, you know, I know for a fact about Bill Clinton in 92, is that when everybody first started running, the big names back then, like Cuomo and Bill Bradley, stayed out because they figured that George Bush, had it locked up from the first war, first Persian Gulf War, before the economy started tanking him. I think Bill Clinton was only running to raise his profile, thinking, you know, I'll run in 96. But the difference is that these were people that were prepared to be president when they did take the lead, and eventually when Bill Clinton did become president. Whereas you have literally a cast of jokers, they're really the same group of people that ended up running for Congress as Tea Party candidates, who literally, the fact that they're making decisions that affect people's lives now should frighten anybody. But that, at least they're in Congress, which it's bad enough, but okay, you're one congressman or woman. There's just a lot of them, which is a shame. But now you're talking about president. And obviously, this group of people fall into the same thing. I don't think Michelle Bachmann, well, I mean, she hears voices from God, so maybe she's crazy enough to think she had a chance. I don't think most people around her thought she did initially. They just thought, you know, get her name out there and maybe next time around. You know what I mean? But clearly doesn't know anything. And Herman Cain and Rick Perry, I mean, these guys take it a step further. I guess it just proves, even if you've been governor of a big state for a while or whatever, look, we all know what it takes. George Bush, you know, was elected governor of Texas. Obviously, they're not so discerning.
Right. I mean, you know, I think Rick Perry has a legitimate shot at being president. What's stunning to me is with a guy like Herman Cain is there's two things that stick out. One is China's developing are implying that they may develop nuclear weapons, you know, arriving to that conclusion 35, 40 years too late. Actually, I guess 50 years too late.
And don't be arrogant about this, Sam. I mean, anytime the next week.
I know. I had to look it up.
Weeks,
I didn't
you never know.
Know
India? Right. India could develop them. Pakistan could. Russia could. I mean, you know, this is a crazy world out there. You never know who's going to develop them next.
Listen, I just think that it's possible also we could send a man to the moon if we really, really focus on what we're doing. But the other thing that sticks out to me still was when he went that exchange he had with Chris Wallace, where Chris Wallace said, what do you think in terms of the Middle East? What do you think about the Palestinians claiming right to return? And Cain goes, right to return? And Wallace goes, right to return?
Pizza was hot enough.
Right
yeah,
to return?
If the pizza was hot enough, they should be able to send it back.
Yeah.
Right to return.
And then he claimed, like, oh, everybody, like around mid-October, he said, what I'm doing is I'm hanging back. People think I don't know anything about foreign policy. I'm studying. I'm talking to advisors, ostensibly probably, you know, an eighth grade geography teacher in his, you know, his local town. And you know, what's going to really get out there is also his record as a businessman in cutting jobs and his record as a lobbyist in spending, you know, vaulting the National Restaurant Association into the top 20-25 top lobbying groups, you know, has been almost completely submerged during this entire time. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens, because I actually think Republican voters will respond positively to these charges for the most part, unless they think it's going to sink him. But
no, I think groping women's a good thing in that primary, or just saying sexually suggestive things or whatever the heck he. I think that was what he did. But I'm sure we'll find out more. So. You know, I mean, it may be acceptable to do that in Ubeki, Beki, Beki, Stan.
That's right, right.
But here...
My favorite tweet of the week was Josh Orton's, who said, who had the hashtag unexpected thoughts, I wish there was a Republican debate tonight.
I saw that one. I follow him, yeah. That was perfect, because it was like, I mean, most of the time it's like these things are just ridiculous, but in light of the, like literally right after the Herman Cain, Rick Perry, you know, couple days there, I mean, just seeing them on the stage would have been precious, wouldn't it have been? We don't have another one until like tomorrow night, do we?
Do you think it was Rick Perry who leaked this, or do you think it was Santorum's people, or do you think it doesn't really matter which campaign it came from?
I don't think it matters much. I mean, you know, it was out there. It was going to come out. But, I mean, if I had to say who I thought it was, I suspect it's Rick Perry. I think he's losing his spot as the not Romney. And somebody needs to be a not Romney for everybody to coalesce around. And Rick Perry was hoping to be that, and he was starting to lose that based on his goofball performances and his being prone to giving scotched up speeches in New Hampshire. So, that seems to make sense. But, I have another thought beyond that, which is, for all we know, it could be the Republican establishment, right?
I mean,
they want Romney to be their nominee. They think he can win. I'm not sure they're right about that, but that's what they think. They think he's the most sort of acceptable. And so, why wouldn't they want to undermine somebody who's looking threatening to him?
I don't know. I thought Kane was actually his presence was actually helping Romney on some level, just because, he was basically sucking up that energy. And at the end of the day, I just didn't think that Kane would get the votes from the Republican.
That may be true. And, for all we know, hell, it could be Newt Gingrich. He's the guy rising in the polls now. They always need their sort of, what if we don't fall in love with Romney guy? And it goes from Bachman to Perry to Kane, and now Gingrich has gone up to 14%. So it could become Gingrich. You know what I mean?
It's such a shame Chris Christie didn't get into the race so that we could see him flame out so wonderfully.
Yeah, I know. That would have been very good, because they would have loved him for a little bit until they discovered his record and a number of issues and, the fact that
he's a member of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Yeah, I mean, that, and he personally keeps Dunkin' Donuts in business. That's important, too. So, I mean, but what would be really cool to me is if it's like someone who did this to Kane is somebody like Gary Johnson.
Right.
That would just be awesome. That's like his only contribution to this thing. You know what I mean?
It would be nice. Poor Gary Johnson. I wonder if they're ever going to let him on a debate stage soon.
He's
been on one. Yeah, well, I'd love to see Buddy. Actually, I would love to see Buddy Romer up there basically as a message to members of both parties, for that matter.
Well, swinging away corporate money. I like that about him, And Gary Johnson on the drug war. I'd love to see him up there, too, just at least talking about that issue.
He was in one debate, but he didn't mention that part of it that much. He just pulled the full-on libertarian stuff, I think.
Well, yeah, because he's trying to appeal to the right. I would hope that if he had a higher profile, what my hope would be, if he really were showing up in the polls, I think he maybe would have to differentiate himself and maybe would talk about the whole kind of pantheon of issues and try to sell his small government thing, and maybe he'd make the drug war a part of that. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong.
Well, Cliff, I know you got to go. And I appreciate you staying a little longer than you had. You told me that you could. I guess
it's just so easy, Sam.
I know,
so
it goes by so fast. I don't know what happens. All right. Well, there was plenty of other things I want to talk to you about, but we'll have to do it again next Friday.
All right. Well, what do you know? We will be here. Same bat time, same bat channel.
All right. Fantastic. All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will be talking to Chris Rosen, who has now forwarded me his number. We'll be right back with this week's movie recommendations. We'll be right back.
Lose your mind. that makes great movie phone.
Big shot senior editor, eh?
Vertical editor.
Here is your theme song. You sit in a dimly lit room watching movies and you dress like a slob.
I'm actually in an office now.
Jimmy Riffin Cakes got to ask you, said, man, how'd you get that job? I said, how did you get that job?
That's right. How did you get that job? Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Rosen, welcome to the program, Chris.
Hey, Sam, I thought you forgot about me after last week.
Well, what? Where have you been?
I don't know. I've been waiting for you to call. Never call anymore.
You were on last week. What did you recommend last week?
I recommended Horrible Bosses.
What? The Bosses?
Well, I was going to recommend that this week, douchebag.
What?
What?
Wait. What did you recommend last week? The Bosses?
I don't know what I recommended last week. It wasn't on.
Horrible Bosses.
Hire the Bosses?
I was not on last week.
Did you wait? Tell me again. You just said Hire the Bosses.
Horrible Bosses. That's what I'm going to recommend. It's a very funny movie.
Wait, you recommended that last week?
Charlie Day is in it. He's very funny. Jason Sudeikis. All these guys, Sam, I don't know if you've heard about this movie, but they all team up to murder their bosses.
Horrible Bosses. You recommended that last week.
I don't believe I did, but it's a really funny movie. I think you should definitely check it out.
Wait, you did? Didn't you just...
Yes, I'm recommending it right now. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a good movie.
No, you recommended it.
You should really see it in Blu-ray.
What? Say that again?
What was that?
You should really see that in Blu-ray. Horrible Bosses. I recommended it last week. It came out on Blu-ray.
That's what I just said. You recommended it last week. It came out on Blu-ray.
I don't know if it came out this week or last week on Blu-ray, but it's good. I don't have a Blu-ray player, but sure, you can watch it.
Okay. Well, wait. You just... Last week you said you recommended it because it was on Blu-ray.
This week I'm saying it.
No, you said...
I said it last week.
That's right. You said it last week.
This week.
So I recommended last week. I thought we could reuse the recommendation.
What are you talking about?
I don't know. I'm just saying this week would be good to watch Horrible Bosses.
Didn't you just say you recommended it last week?
I didn't. You were playing audio tapes of me saying that, but I'm telling you now to recommend it.
I'm not playing audio tapes of you saying it last week. I'm a little
confused. I don't remember being on last week, but sure.
All right. So you wait.
So Horrible Bosses is a very funny movie. I think you should check it out. I don't know. If I recommended it last week, you know, maybe you watched it?
I remember he also recommended... What was the show he recommended last week?
Wait, didn't you recommend a TV show last week?
Probably Parks and Recreation.
No.
It was Whitney.
I
recommended Whitney last week.
You recommended Whitney last week. Yeah, what is that show?
Oh, I would never recommend that piece of shit.
Wait, you just said you recommended it.
Well, I didn't, though. I recommended Horrible Bosses. That was funny. Whitney's bad. Whitney's all kinds of bad.
That's not what you said last week.
Oh, Matt, look, you decided to talk now.
Yeah, Matt talks? What do you mean?
Matt's a douchebag. Where's that drop? Get that drop ready.
What drop?
You can use that cut. Hang on. Matt's a douchebag.
All right, wait a second. All right, I'm confused with you guys. All right.
Hey, Matt, why don't you go play like Gears of War on PS3 or something?
I've already told you, Rosen. Gears of War is on Xbox 360.
I mean, Matt's talking to himself now.
All right. So Whitney is not. You don't like Whitney.
Whitney, I wouldn't recommend. I think that show's garbage.
All right.
We don't recommend television shows on this because if I did, I would just tell you to watch Parks and Recreation every week.
All right. Now wait a second. So what are you recommending this week?
Horrible Bosses is a great movie.
Dude, you recommended that last week.
Oh, that's right. Well, I'd recommend it again because it's really funny.
All right. Do you have a second recommendation?
I actually have two other recommendations.
Hold on for one second. Oh, I should remind people that what we do on this recommendation is a Netflix or a
Amazon
streaming.
On demand.
What? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. So a Netflix or an Amazon streaming, and so that because I'm not allowed to leave my house.
Right, that's a sad life you live, Sam.
It is.
But for the rest of us, you know, there's a whole world out there.
I understand. So what is that second movie?
I was going to recommend Margin Call. I know you love it when I recommend things I haven't seen, but this is available on Amazon right now. It's actually in theaters, so you could, you know, watch it, something that people are actually talking about instead of waiting like 6 months to watch something.
Wait a second. You haven't watched it?
I haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, but I plan on doing it. It's on Amazon, and it's also in theaters, but, I mean, if you don't want to go out to the theater, you can watch it. It's about the financial crisis. Tons of people.
Simon Baker's in it. Demi Moore. I mean, you like things I haven't seen before, so, I mean, I think this is a good recommendation. You can see it now. It's in theaters.
Yeah, okay. Why haven't you had time to see it?
Yeah, Matt, why haven't I had time to see it?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
What?
Why are you asking me that?
Because you're doing a bad impression of me?
What? Sam, you're sitting right across from me. Am I doing an impression of Chris Rosen?
No, you're sitting there doing an impression of you.
So
Rosen, why haven't you had time to see it?
I'm a busy guy, Sam. I don't have time to see these movies.
Well, what do you do at Movie Phone?
A lot of stuff we do at Movie Phone. It's a great website. You should come check it out. Click around, buy some tickets.
But wait,
check out some of our galleries.
I don't understand. You work for Movie Phone, but yet you don't have time to see movies.
Well,
I'm a vertical editor, Sam. I have a lot of deadlines to meet.
You have other deadlines to meet? Like what?
I don't just do this show, Sam.
No, I know you don't just do this show, but what other deadlines could you possibly have?
Do you know how many verticals there are in movies?
How many verticals there are in movies?
I don't even understand what that means.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I'm a vertical editor.
No, I know you're a vertical editor, but what does that mean? There are verticals in movies.
Each movie is a vertical, Sam.
Each movie is a vertical?
Yeah.
I don't understand what that means. Rosen, how did you get that job?
A lot of hard work. You know, not easy. But we got it. That's good.
Now, what does that mean, verticals in movies?
Yeah, there's a lot of movies, Sam. I don't know what to tell you.
There are a lot of movies. Okay, so Bad Boss.
So Horrible Bosses, it's so good, you should watch it again. Margin Call, I haven't seen it, so that means it's probably good, right? That's how it goes.
Now, wait a second. How many other movies, I mean, what movies did you see this week?
This week, I don't think I went to any screenings. So, I saw Tower Heist. I had to see that. That was great. A lot of fun.
Tower Heist? Oh, yeah. Is that one with Ben Stiller? Why didn't you recommend that one?
Because you can't go out to the movies.
Oh, right. Okay, fair enough.
But, you know, in 6 months, I would recommend Tower Heist. It's stupid, but it's a lot of fun.
Right, of course. Stupid, but fun. What else?
This week, I don't think I saw any other screenings.
That's 90 minutes of movies that you watched this week for your job at Movie Phone.
Well, you know, I'm trying to think of what else I even watched this week. There wasn't really that much.
Well, there was nothing vertical. You never go
back.
There's
a lot of verticals. Just, you know, there wasn't a lot of me watching movies.
All right. Well,
anyway, Sam, this has been fun. I'm going to play myself off. And,
what's the matter?
What's up? Nothing. I'm a very busy guy. I got stuff to do.
Like, what are you going to go do now?
Just, you know, the verticals. A lot of stuff in those verticals.
Okay.
I got to start work on the Twilight vertical. It's coming up in a few weeks.
Twilight vertical? The Twilight vertical?
Yeah, I got a lot of work to do for the upcoming blockbuster movie, Twilight Breaking Dawn.
Oh, one of our Chris Rosens hung up.
Which one? I can't tell.
Yeah.
Well, Chris Rosen's... thank you for joining us today.
Thanks, Sam.
Oh, my God.
And I think the best was real Chris Rosen saying, you're playing audio clips of me from past shows.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I think he was genuinely pissed. And, you know, the amazing thing is he never listens to the show. So he wouldn't even know that we introduced a Chris Rosen impersonator last week.
So he thinks it's me.
He thinks it's you.
And I have the incredible talent of speaking over my own impressions with my normal voice.
Well, that actually is, you can learn that. You can actually learn to do that if you're really good at it. You can learn to do that. That was pretty amazing, folks. he recommended Margin Call and Horrible Bosses, which is amazing because Kyle, the other Chris Rosen recommended Horrible Bosses last week. All right, folks, it is now time for our Songs of the Week. I wanted to just sort of read this, give a shout out. Listener forwarded this email to me. I'm not on, to the extent that I'm on people's email lists, I rarely read them anymore. But, there was a, an election in Colorado, a local school board election, and David Sirota's wife was running. And it sounds like it was just a brutal experience to run. And Sirota sent out an email blast saying, "This week, my wife Emily lost her school board campaign here in Denver, having been outspent 3 or 4 to 1. She lost by a margin of 2 to 1. Math ratio-wise, that's something of a victory, I guess. But, of course, it's still a loss. We thought it would be much closer. We thought we needed about 9,000 votes to win, and the good news was that we almost got 9,000 votes. But the bad news is, after Emily's opponent, a wealthy investment banker, spent a record obliterating amount of money, $300,000. $300,000 on a local school board race. It's about $20 per vote. We ended up needing many more votes to win, and we didn't get them. He talks about how sort of exhausting the campaign was and how much admiration he has for his wife in doing that. And so if you have a chance on Twitter, send Sirota a message of support. Nice thing to do. We need more people like that in office. Hopefully next time. I can assure you, I know the pain of running and losing in elections, really only from school back in the day when I was in college. I was very, very much, I lost a student government president as a junior, or I would have been as a sophomore, by 12 votes. It was only, 1,700 votes on our campus, but even still, painful, exhausting to run an election like that. So, if you get a chance on Twitter. All right, now, let's go. Shall we play? Reefer Cake got it in just by the skin of his skin. And I will say also, if you are a maniac, and by that I mean from Maine, like Jimmy Reefer Cake, very important for you to get out and vote for a referendum. Your election's coming up next week. Question number one would reject a new state law requiring new voters to register at least 2 business days prior to an election. If the election was today, would you vote for or against question one? 48 would vote for it. In other words, it would reject the new law, the attempt by the Republicans in Maine to prevent literally hundreds of thousands of people from voting, tens of thousands of people. 44 would vote against it. 7% are not sure. The referendum is in on the 8th. I think it's the 8th or the 7th. And it would restore same-day registration if this is rejected. You need to go out and vote for this bill, folks. Republicans across the country have been on a basically a voter anti-voter jihad in attempting to to change the face of the electorate. And they are attempting to disenfranchise up to 5 million people. We talked to Ari Berman about this story. Maine is one of those places. Go out and vote for that. In the meantime, Jimmy Reefer Cake finally got Herman in the studio. That dude can party. He explained to me his entire thing is an act. He's actually a pretty cool dude. Enjoy. And this is that song, Herman Cain Flat Out Lying.
Stupid people are ruining America. It's sad.
Presidential hopeful Herman Cain has Rush Limbaugh in his brain. He knows the answers that they seek. It's always riddled in doublespeak about how the other side is lying, and the crap keeps on flying. Well, if you really wanna know the truth, and I think you do, yeah, we better invest in our youth. But instead we keep throwing the poo when Herman talks about S-I-N. It's his own playbook opening. Are they really too stupid to see the obvious hypocrisy? Everything is inside out, upside down.
Herman keep on bringing them billionaire taxes down. Herman keep on pushing that 999.
Flat out lie.
Herman keep on lying.
You young kids
lying.
Haven't figured out what a lie is yet. It's time to tell them. Because you're going to hear a lot of them in 2012, because they are trying to destroy this country at all costs. And they don't care too much about the truth. They have only three factors. S-I-N. They shift the subject. They ignore the facts. And they name call.
Herman Cain, right? In studio.
That's all they do.
In studio with Jimmy Reefer Cake. That song was significantly over a minute long, wasn't it?
It was about 2 minutes and 15 seconds.
Yeah, we got to keep this down to a minute, Jimmy. I liked it. But brevity is the soul of Herman Cain bashing. I like the guitar work. I like the music. I enjoyed quite a bit. Sort of like a nice dinner music in a way. And now, ladies and gentlemen, moving on to the screaming majority. We don't want to belabor the subject of who's driving the clown car this week, but Governor Perry's recent performance has forced us to ask the musical question, what the hell was that? This is upon witnessing the curious oratory of the Texas governor in New Hampshire.
Was he thinking? Was he stoned or was he drinking? What the hell, what the hell, what the hell was that? The Greek prime minister is barely holding on. Maybe it's finally time to switch the euro for the yuan in Occupy Wall Street.
Wait, I have to interrupt. Is it possible Rick Perry gets high from maple syrup?
What the hell was that? What the hell was that? Did you see that YouTuber Rick Perry cackling like a fool? Brandishing his postcard saying,
New Hampshire is so cool.
What was going on? What was going in? Was he bottle on Vicodin? What the hell, what the hell, what the hell was that?
Live free or die. He sure was acting like he was high. The whole thing was like some twisted dream. It's Muskie's tears mixed with Dean's scream.
No!
Can you tell me, can you tell? Can you tell me, can you tell? What the hell, what the hell, what the hell was that?
All right.
Both songs were great this week.
Great songs. I love it. Old school punk. Old school punk. What the hell was that? I love it. You know, you. I know you went to see Conan O'Brien last night at the Beacon Theater.
I did, yep.
I live right near the Beacon Theater, but the only time I've been in there was in 1986. I was there for a Replacements concert.
That's the year I was born.
You got to be shitting me.
That I was born in 1986.
Wow. Paul Westerberg drank a half a bottle of vodka on stage. The other half, I assume, he consumed before he got on stage. But that reminded me of, like, Ma, Take Out the Trash, an album that preceded your birth. Oh, God, I'm going feeling a little faint. As we head into the post-show, folks, I want to remind you that tomorrow, remember November 5th. How does that go? How's that phone
remember, work? Remember the 5th of November.
Remember the 5th of November. Not only is it Guy Fawkes Day, it's also transfer, bank transfer day. Move your money tomorrow, folks. Over the past month, last month, 650,000 people moved their accounts into credit unions, which was more than moved their accounts in the entire year of 2010. Stunning. And once you do, folks, that's a great time to decide that you're going to become a member of the Majority Report. It is only because of your membership will this show be able to continue and continue to offer a show 5 days a week. Don't make me go to 2 days a week or 3 days a week or do... You know, that model that, was it, Jimmy Pardo? He puts out 20 minutes a day. In the better half of the show today, I'll tell this story about what I heard about how my rant about that New York Times financial reporter made it back to the New York Times financial reporter. So... This show works on, it's incredibly gratifying for me to hear stories like that, because the show works for me on many different levels, but it can only work with your support, only, period. And I know there are thousands of you who listen to it every single day, without missing it. Don't make me take away a couple of days. I don't want to do that. But, promised myself I'd be a billionaire by the time I became 45. That's coming up very closely, a matter of days. The one-year anniversary is coming up in less than 2 weeks, or I think maybe exactly 2 weeks. And we are literally several hundreds of people away from hitting projections, which is... And granted, I pulled those projections out of my butt, but it was really more projections about what could make the show survive rather than, because I don't know what I'm doing when it comes to business. I think that's quite clear. In the meantime, you can support the show in many different ways, but becoming a member, as the Torah would say, is better than all of them. Well, I took some license. The Torah doesn't exactly say that. The Torah doesn't exactly say become a member at majority.fm. But be that as it may, join us in the better half of the show. You can call us or you can IM us. We'll be right back after this.